Many blessings to you all, and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is Matthew 18, 15 to 20. The Gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 to 20. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. My theme for reflection is when the church becomes difficult. When the church becomes difficult. Someone once joked that the perfect church would be one with no people in it. But as soon as you joined, it would stop being perfect. Conflict, as it turns out, is not the enemy of the church. It is one of its greatest teachers. The issue is not whether Christians will disagree, but how we handle it when we do. In Matthew 18, 15 to 20, Jesus speaks not to a crowd of unbelievers, but to his disciples, to the future ecclesia, the gathered community of faith. His words are remarkably realistic. The community that bears his name will not be spared from disputes, misunderstandings, and betrayals. Even among the faithful, relationships will fracture. But Jesus Christ refuses to let us pretend otherwise. He gives his followers a way of truth-telling, healing, and holy accountability that keeps the church from collapsing under its own humanity. The problem is as ancient as it is modern. We find it easier to talk about someone than to talk to them. Gossip masquerades as concern. Silence dresses up as diplomacy. Yet both undermine the fabric of Christian love. Jesus' teaching cuts through that illusion. If your brother or sister sins against you, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. Not through social media subtweets or backroom whispers. Direct, honest, private conversation. If that fails, Jesus prescribes widening circles of reconciliation, first with witnesses, then before the whole community, not as bureaucracy, but as mercy. Conflict in his vision is never for humiliation, but for healing. Even the act of discipline, treating someone as a Gentile or tax collector, is not a final condemnation, but a reminder of how Jesus himself treated such people with truth and with love, never with abandonment. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once wrote, "Nothing can be more cruel than the tenderness that consigns another to his sin. Nothing can be more compassionate than the severe rebuke that calls a brother back from the path of sin." True Christian love refuses both cowardice and cruelty. It confronts without destroying, forgives without excusing, and corrects without despising. Jesus ends this teaching with one of Scripture's most misunderstood promises. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am I among them. This is not simply comfort for small prayer meetings. It is assurance for difficult conversations. The presence of Christ is guaranteed not in avoidance, but in reconciliation. Whenever we seek peace with one another, heaven leans in. So what does this mean for us today? It means that Christian community is not a club of the like-minded, but a school of forgiveness. It means that our witness to the world depends not on our perfection, but on how we handle imperfection. It means that every argument, every fracture, every wound is an opportunity for grace to take flesh again. Jesus Christ calls us to do the hard, slow work of truth-telling, repentance, and restoration. The health of the body depends on it. As the modern philosopher Paul Ricoeur observed, to be forgiven is to receive a future. Every act of forgiveness reopens a door that sin tried to close. May we then become a people who stay at the table when it would be easier to walk away, who confront with humility, and who forgive as those who have been forgiven much. For in the messy, fragile business of community, God is still among us, binding, loosening, healing, and restoring. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, how do I normally respond to conflict? With avoidance, gossip, or courage rooted in love? Number two, what would it look like for me to seek reconciliation with someone I have avoided confronting or forgiving? And now our practical exercise. Think of one strained relationship in your life. Pray for the person by name. Then take one step toward honest communication, whether through a message, a call, or a quiet act of kindness. Lord Jesus, you who dwell where two or three gather in your name, teach us to face conflict with grace and truth. Heal what divides us, silence what gossips within us, and give us the courage to seek peace that honors you. Bind us together in your love so that the world may know you and know you are still among us. In your name we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all now and forevermore. Amen.